If you would, please turn into your pew Bible, Bible in front of you, and let us read. I will read for you Luke, where are you? Here we go. Luke 19, 28 to 40. And as you're turning into your hymnal, or into your pew Bible, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day of celebration, this day to remember that you are our King. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you've done for us. We ask that you open up our hearts and our minds and our ears to hear what it is that you have, that our lives may be challenged and changed, that we may serve you all the more. We thank you for this show of your grace in our lives, that you want us to grow closer to you. We pray, Lord, for a blessing upon the words spoken also, that it's pleasing to you, honoring to you, and that it may be used for your glory. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Luke 19, 28-40. The translation I'm reading is slightly different. We'll read it slowly. Please follow along the best you can. After Jesus said this, he went on ahead, going to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is a king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." This is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're continuing with our Lenten journey to the cross and to the resurrection of Jesus, and we're almost done. 40 days of Lent plus the 6 Sundays is just about over. Seems to have gone quite quickly. We're continuing with our theme also for this Lenten season of Jesus as the harbinger or the bringer of change. And we've looked in many different ways how Jesus brought change throughout his ministry, how Jesus challenged the status quo. And this day has a lot of challenge to it. In fact, I found Palm Sunday as to be, let me say it this way. I appreciate the tradition that Trinity has before I even got here, which is the service you will see will take a change towards the end of the service. Palm Sunday is the first Sunday of Passion Week. Passion Week talks about the passion of Christ, how Jesus gave his life, the trial that Jesus is about to face. Maundy Thursday is traditionally the Last Supper of Jesus. Good Friday is when Jesus was ordered to be put to death, and Jesus died. And then, of course, Easter Sunday, the resurrection of Christ. And so Palm Sunday was always, oftentimes, served as a hinge. Palm Sunday is one of those, oxymoronic kind of days. I don't know, I make that word up. You know, it starts one way, turns to another. It It's this day, it's this time of joyful celebration, and we celebrate it with the children. We recognize the scripture that was just read to you, that the people were so excited about Jesus. They saw him as the Messiah, the fulfillment of prophecy, the man who would come and free Israel from the tyranny of Rome and make Israel an independent nation and bring the kingdom that they were all hoping and wanting so much. And they saw Jesus enter into Jerusalem as that sign and a symbol that this was the Messiah. And so as Jesus was coming down the road into Jerusalem, they laid their cloaks on the ground. They praised God as the king. They put the palm fronds down. It was a time of joyous celebration, a time ripe with hope for the future, that everything was going to be okay. That this was the start of a new era. The sadness of Palm Sunday is this, that the same people who said, "Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," yelled, crucify him, just less than a week later. Disappointed at how can this man whom we thought was the king is not doing it the way that we expected. This isn't what the king's supposed to do. And so turn on him when their disappointments were high enough. Palm Sunday is, on one hand, extremely celebratory, and on the other hand, sad. Because we start to see kind of the how humanity doesn't always have a strong threshold for their expectations being crushed or changed. How sometimes humanity tends to, if things don't go exactly the way we want, we turn on an instant. And we see that in Palm Sunday in the story of Passion. But you see, Jesus never said that following him would be easy, or even following him would be something easily understandable. Sometimes there's moments of confusion. Sometimes there's moments of doubt. Sometimes there's moments where we say, "Ow, Lord, what in the world do you want me to do? Like, you want me to do that? I thought following you would be easy. I thought following you would..." I really love the scriptures in the Bible that says, "Take my burden, for my yoke is easy." You know? And the scriptures that say, "Don't worry, for I am with you." And all this. And we love these scriptures because we can just pull those out, and it says things that remind us that, you know, following Christ means our life will be easier from this point out. But the Passion shows us that if we're to follow Christ, it's not easy. It's quite hard. And that sometimes the road that Jesus has us to go on is a lonely road. A road that separates us from people. A road that makes us stand out and makes us walk by ourselves in isolation to the rest of the community, for we stand for what's different. We stand for what's Jesus. In John chapter 6, there's this story. When many of his disciples heard Jesus' teaching, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to him, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It's the spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who were the ones that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Even Jesus' own disciples at the point of his ministry left because his teachings were too hard. The Passion, the story of the Passion narrative of Jesus, tells us just how hard following Christ is. And that probably the biggest change that Jesus is the bringer of, is that following Christ sometimes isolates us from what we have known for all of our lives. It plunges us into something new, something different, and at times something very hard. The joy is, of course, that even though we are isolated from the rest of the community, from the world, that we are so together, and that Jesus walked the road first and knows all the difficulties accompanied with it and helps us through each step of the way. In that way, we are not alone. And in that way, we have someone who is with us. I'm reminded when I think about the Passion narrative and the road that Jesus walks and the road that Jesus calls us to walk upon. Reminded of an AA saying. It's at the end of the meeting, and it's near the back of the book, and it says something like, "And as you trudge this road of, as you trudge this weary road of destiny, you will surely meet some of us upon the way." And I believe the road that Christ calls us to walk sometimes feels like a drudgery. Sometimes feels weary. But surely we will meet each other along the way. Surely we will meet Christ as we walk this path we're called to walk. We may want it to be lined with palms such as a celebration. But sometimes that celebration is short-lived. And what is left is just a difficult, narrow path that calls us to give our life for Christ in whatever form Jesus calls us to. But we praise the Lord, He is with us always, and that He went first. So I invite you to join us for our Good Friday service as we look at the stations of the cross, as we look at where Jesus went upon that road, and we look at where we are responsible to those moments. We'll be meeting up at St. Regis at 5:30. On Good Friday, if the weather cooperates. It's supposed to be warm-ish, about 60 degrees. There is an 80% chance of rain. Hopefully that will come before or after. If the rain holds off, we will walk from St. Regis down to the cemetery, down to the playground that's by the old funeral home. We'll have a station there, and then we will walk from the Ritter Funeral Home over to the War Memorial, have a station there, and then finish up here at Trinity. If you're not able to walk, that's fine. We can meet at St. Regis. You can hop in your car, drive down to Trinity, and then we will do all the stations here. So you do not have to walk. Should it rain, then we'll just start at St. Regis and come here. Everyone's invited. It'd be a time to remember what Jesus has done and how we're called to follow in his footsteps. One last challenge for Lent. Challenge is this. Between now and Easter Sunday, read the Passion of Jesus. Every gospel has it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John has the Passion narrative. And if you flip through your Bible, you'll start to see where the Passion starts. And it starts with Jesus entering Jerusalem, the triumphal entry. So start there and read towards to the resurrection of Jesus.